Hello there. I am the Projectionist, and welcome to my sinister Tales of Terror.
Projectionist? Projectionist? You in here?
I'm telling you, Intern Rockford J, I saw a skull of some sort stuck in between one of those gears. You need to reach for it. Put some effort into it.
Projectionist, what's going on?
Victor! By all the blessed ravings of Dinhong the Wise, what are you doing in my wing of the vault?
Didn't you get the memo? Ross is sick this week, so I'm here to help you record your new podcast. Hey, what is that stone cap for?
This... Oh, nothing at all. Earlier, I noticed we had an issue with vermin, mice, or giant rats it might have been. This cover is just a precaution.
Oh, boy. Well, it's time to record the new podcast.
Why, of course. The dear listeners are ready for another dose of my sinister tales of terror, eh? Come, let us take a seat by the fireplace. Now then, Serge, in what way shall you aid me in this radio broadcast? Ross Shirey is my assistant, after all. It is he that does the research for our programs.
Ross is definitely a trooper. He sent over these case files for me to share with you on the show. He noted here he thought you would find this research very interesting, Projectionist. He calls it The Rake.
I've not heard of this one. A Haddonfield incident?
No, this one occurred in Maine, in a town called Bridgeton. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. At least some of the evidence that Ross and Preston Griffith were able to dig up in the vault library points to Bridgeton as being the focal point, at least for the moment. Ross also uncovered a newspaper article from Pocatello in Idaho that made mention of the entity that has been called the Rake. Although, having said that, there have been some similar incidents to the creature reported on multiple continents throughout the ages.
How interesting. I am positive that our dear listeners are already on pins and needles. Fill us in on what Ross has discovered. I'm not sure how much air Intern Rockford J has in that shaft.
What did you just say?
Oh, nothing. Please continue.
Listeners, Ross has collected eyewitness accounts and various reports upon the Rake. Some of those even include personal journals. The creature appears as a semi-humanoid entity. One of the earliest records Ross located was from a ship's captain. The shipping journal that belonged to Jacob Malone from 1691. While Ross was able to discover the name of the vessel, which was the Borneo Prince, he wasn't able to learn of what became of the ship afterwards. Captain Malone, however, ceased sailing after his encounter with the Rake, settling in Providence. His ship journal, which was partially destroyed, cryptically states, quote, "He came to me in my sleep. From the foot of my bed, I felt a sensation. He took everything. We must return to Providence. We shall not return here again at the request of the Rake." End quote.
That is all this Captain Malone had to say on the matter.
That appears to be it. Although Ross located a page from the journal of Miguel Pilar. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. A Spanish miner from 1880. Ross asked me to let you read this translation for the listeners, Projectionist. Start right here.
I have experienced the greatest of terrors. The greatest of terrors. Greatest of terrors. When I close my eyes in attempt to find peace, I see his eyes. The rake. His eyes are hollow pits, blacker than obsidian. His gaze saw through me, pierced me. I can still feel his wet hands on my legs. His voice will assure I never sleep again.
So, judging from these account listeners, it does appear the Rake is an intelligent entity, or possibly possessing a psychic ability to communicate. Ross notes that is just a theory, though. The next piece of evidence comes from a suicide note. This was from 1964 in the town of Ithaca. The note belonged to a high school student named Vicky Hennenlotter. The newspaper reports on the sad incident mention a wooden box was located next to Vicky, containing not just the suicide note, but two empty envelopes. One addressed to a William Browning, and another to Virginia Carpenter. The note reads, quote, "I have just taken all the pills. I am already feeling so drowsy. I don't want anyone to think what I'm doing is their fault. William, I'm not mad at you or Virginia. The sole fault in my action is because of him, the Rake. I was woken again tonight by him speaking, if you can truly call it that. As soon as I looked into his eyes, the blackness, like a pit, I knew this was the only way I would find escape from his visits. Mom and Dad, don't be mad. I need to lay down now." End quote. Oh, that's horrible.
Indeed, Victor. This is what occurs, however, when the denizens of the dark cross the paths of mortal lives. Frequently, the outcome is a tragic one. This Rake is a most curious creature indeed. We have an account of how it has asked the captain of the Borneo Prince to not return. And yet, from the Spanish miner and poor Vicky Hennenlotter, it acts almost like a vengeful haunting. A caries, perhaps?
I agree, it's odd. And from some of the other newspaper articles that Ross and Preston researched, it seems like the Rake isn't always so deadly. Ross made sure to point out in his notes the prevailing theories is that this is not a singular entity. Assuming some of the other cases that Ross investigated are related to the Rake, the creature has been merely inquisitive and in some cases even helpful. In his notes, Ross apologized that he wasn't able to give you a firmer answer on this one, projectionist. Although the last bit of evidence that Ross was able to compile on the Rake is pretty current. It happened just back in 2006 in Bridgeton, Maine, which, as I mentioned earlier, is where reports of the Rake have started to come in of late. Anyway, thanks to Preston Griffith, we have a police transcript from Sarah McDonald.
"I have told Ross many times before, Preston has ways of getting information, and it's best not to ask how."
Sarah's transcript gives us a pretty complete view of how the Rake, or at least this particular creature she encountered, operates. And it's definitely something none of us will ever want to cross paths with. For the record, it appears this encounter made the local newspapers and media. The police even investigated the occurrence, which is how we have Sarah's transcript, which is pretty long. So Ross edited her interview, including only Sarah's portions of the conversation. Quote, "For the 100th time, I told you that when I woke up, I thought Daniel had gotten out of bed and was using the bathroom. I rolled over to gather up the sheets since he would manage to steal most of them while we slept. It was like that from before we got married. When I rolled over, I was surprised to see Daniel staring at me. His eyes were wide, and he slowly pressed a finger against my lips to hush me. He was curled up with his legs against his chest. It was then I realized something was in the room with us. I could barely make it out from the light of the open bathroom door. It looked like a cross between a dog and a man. It didn't have any hair, though. It quickly scrambled up the bed and almost pressed its face against Daniel's. I remember looking at it in shock as it placed a slimy wet hand against my arm and Daniel's. It made an odd, high-pitched sound, then bolted off the bed and down the hallway. End quote. At this point in the transcript, the police asked Sarah if this was when she heard her two children, Ruth and John, begin screaming. Sarah replied, quote, yeah. I pushed myself off the bed and ran to them. As I entered the room, John was yelling, the rake, and pointing towards little Ruth. The creature was straddling her bed, and as I rushed in, it swiped at her with its clawed hand. It made that strange noise again, then leapt through the kid's bedroom window. End quote. Ross states the police obviously weren't believing the story about a creature called the rake. He notes he assumes they were under the impression that it was an intruder dressed up, that Sarah was in too much shock to remember everything correctly. Sarah continues with, quote, I rushed to Ruth, pressing her Hello Kitty sheets to her wound. There was so much blood. I kept calling for Daniel, and I did my best to try and get John to stop screaming. I picked Ruth up and ran into our bedroom. Daniel was still laying on the bed, like he was in a coma or something, but his eyes were open. I slapped him a couple of times, and he woke up from like a dream. He saw Ruth, and we both rushed downstairs into the car. I wanted to drive her myself, but Daniel insisted that he take her, that I should see to John. End quote. I'll stop reading from Sarah's transcripts there, listeners. Apparently, Daniel and Ruth never made it to the hospital. Sarah's husband lost control of the car a little after leaving their home, striking a tree and careening upside down in a nearby pond. Sadly, neither of them survived. Ross notes that, for what it's worth, Sarah has continued hunting for the rake. He found forum posts from her on cryptozoological sites and the like. He mentions that it appears she is compiling data on the creature, but for what purpose he isn't sure. He even went so far as to send her a private message to conduct an interview, but she hadn't responded. And it looks like that's about all there is for the rake projectionist.
What a fascinating mystery Ross has uncovered. He has done a wonderful job, as always. So much to ponder in regards to the things out there in the darkness, dear listeners. Those denizens of a much darker world that most are lucky enough to avoid meeting.
Agreed, projectionist.
I cannot help but recall from Sarah MacDonald's transcript, Sage. She mentioned the rake made a high-pitched sound.
What about it, projectionist?
Might this not be how it communicates? Sarah MacDonald mentions that her husband was paralyzed. Perhaps only Daniel MacDonald could truly hear what he was speaking.
Huh. My friend, I want to say that I much prefer when we talk about fake monsters and slashers on the Saturday Frights podcast. It beats pondering what supernatural threats are possibly waiting out there for us.
With all of our adventures, Sage, I thought you would be made of sterner stuff.
Yeah, that's what my therapist mentions too. Do you think maybe there is some kind of secretion in the rake's touch? Perhaps that is why Daniel's wife mentioned it was like he was in a coma.
Interesting, yes. But Sarah MacDonald said she was touched as well by the rake.
Oh yeah, good point.
Naturally. Perhaps in the near future, we might be able to have Sarah MacDonald upon this radio broadcast to share the research that she has compiled. With that, dear listeners, let us bring this Sinister Tales of Terror broadcast to a close. I hope you are enjoying Season 2 of our radio show. If you would like to reach me on the internets, you may do so by contacting me on the Facebooks. Projectionist Haunted Drive-In. I will begrudgingly thank Victor for his help on this broadcast. And as always, a thanks to my assistant, Ross Shirey, for his research. I will also give a thank you to the Retroist for allowing me the opportunity to broadcast on his network. When you wish to learn of the joy and history of pop culture, you should visit The Retroist. This has been a Retroist production. Sleep well and goodbye.